You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, guys, we're back. Another episode of Processing Blue. You guys kicked me out of the club for a few weeks. I hadn't been around. People asking, am I still involved? I thought I was, like, you know, not one of the cool guys anymore.
Langston,
yeah, you're
always
cool. That's what it is. Sorry,
we're,
Scott.
We're glad you're messing with us again. We like that. We're afraid that you had gone off on all your wonderful projects and weren't going to play with us anymore. So we're glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be back, and shout out to Mike K, our compatriot. He's going to be out for a little while, had a little injury. So Mike, you know, get better soon, get back soon. These guys have your back. Well, I'll have you back. But there was a big press conference today, Scott. The Panthers introduced new general manager Dan and the new head coach, Dan Morgan and Dave Canales. What are your thoughts of the press conference? It seemed to me like the Panthers won the press conference. They may not have won the season, but they won the press conference.
Yeah, you could probably say they got a victory today in the press conference, I'd say. Dave Canales, my first time seeing him, meeting him today, like the majority of people who were in that building and watching it probably. Very charismatic, I thought. Obviously knows how to speak, knows how to win a crowd over. I was just looking at the room sometimes when he spoke and it was really electric at times. I mean, he choked up when he mentioned his wife. He sounded very passionate. Dan Morgan, of course, I've been around for a really long time, so I know how he is. But Canales was all new to me. So thought they did a nice job in the press conference. David Tepper did not speak. Maybe that's a wise move. You know, maybe it kept the focus on the coach and the GM.
Yeah, Mr. Tepper told the Associated Press, they asked him, is he going to be involved? He says he's in the background now. So we'll see, you know, where that leads or heads. But that was his quote to the Associated Press. Alex, the Panthers got a lot younger. They've had older coaches. Now they have a younger coach. You're a younger guy. Did you like seeing that youthful energy in the room from Canales?
I will say that his youthful energy did come across. It was very palpable. As you might say, I think another thing that was different perhaps from him than his predecessors was he was able to boil down what his brand of football is in a way that the layperson can understand, in a way that I'm not sure Matt Rhule could, I'm not sure Frank Wright could. He said things that all coaches say, the platitudes, like, I don't like synonyms. We're going to be aligned and we're going to, the cliches of we're all going to be the same message, we're all going to have the same language, and that's fine. But there were many ways that he showed that he was 42 years old. And he's been doing it prior to the introductory press conference. He was very active online, on social media, interacting with the fans, something that I think a lot of fans appreciated but were cautiously optimistic about. Like, hey, are you going to be this positive if the season doesn't go super well in your first year? So there was that. I actually tried to ask him about his online presence at the end of the press conference. It was kind of a long-winded question. He didn't exactly express why or how or if he's going to continue being such an online presence. But in any case, that's who this guy is, and that it came across.
It'd be interesting to see if he stays online with that win today. You know, let's win today every day if they're going 2-15. Scott, the Panthers hired a Brad Tillis yesterday. They got Dan Morgan in. They have their front office settled. It looks like they're trying to duplicate the 49ers. What do you think now about this front office as compared to the best of past Panthers front offices?
Hard to tell yet. I mean, I don't really even know Brad Tillis yet. And I think all front offices ultimately are not judged by their flow chart. They're judged by the talent they acquire. And that's where I thought Dan Morgan made some really good points today that basically you could boil down in four words. And what he said was, we need some dogs. They need more players. That's the thing they didn't have last year, among other things. But really, they were less talented than almost every team they went out there against. And that, of course, now that's an indictment to some extent of Dan Morgan, because he was there as the assistant GM with Scott Fitterer. But now it's his charge to make that talent better and to figure out with the others how to figure out these contracts and stuff. But that's what I remember as much as anything about this press conference was Dan Morgan sort of invoking the names of the Panthers past, some of the greats, that they just need some more really talented, really competitive players, the Mohsin Mohammeds and Jonathan Stewarts and Luke Kuechly's of the world. He mentioned all those names specifically. And that's where I thought that was interesting and he also said, nobody fears our logo anymore. And we need that. We need to get that back. Nobody fears the logo. And when you go 2-15, that's correct. Nobody fears the logo.
Just great football talk all around. Yeah. Nobody fears the logo.
What do you do though, guys, to try to get free agents to come in here when you are 2-15 and you are on another football coach in so many years? What do you do to attract guys? You can cut the check, but it's got to be a little bit more than that, right?
Well, I think, the check goes a long way and playing time goes a long way.
Yeah.
And, people always bet on themselves. I mean, Dave Canales just walked into what has been a coaching graveyard. He doesn't care. He thinks he's the guy who's going to be able to turn it around, and I'm sure players, they bet on themselves their whole lives. They'll do the same thing to a degree, but it is going to be, it's going to be hard to find, all the diamonds in the rough that they need. What do you think, Alex?
No, I largely agree. You find a new coach, you find a new GM, hopefully hire them at the same time. Hopefully that promotes some alignment, which is a word that we heard all much today. And then you let the head coach hire his staff, hire his guys. Dave Canales has hired a whole bunch of people he's worked with previously. It's expected that the offensive coordinator is going to be former a Tampa Bay Bucks receivers coach, Brad Idzik. He's got a couple other offensive assistants coming who have previously worked under him. So like that is what you do to compel people here. Say, hey, this is a new Carolina Panthers.
The question everybody wants to know is the defensive coordinator coming back? Did you guys get any clarification on that, Scott?
That sounds like he probably will, but they're not saying 100% yet, but. Yeah, I would certainly bet that Vera will be back. Dave Canales called him, quote, a huge piece of what we're trying to do here. And, reading between the lines, it certainly sounded like that was the case, but they're not quite ready to announce it. And then that will probably mean that there may be a couple of other defensive staff people that will be back too. Dave Canales, of course, is going to call the plays, and that's, even though he's going to have another guy as offensive coordinator, Canales calling the plays will, that will be significant because, of course, he needs to figure out Bryce Young. They got to solve the Bryce Young problem. And that, I know, is, Alex, kind of what you've addressed a little bit today.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this a little bit offline, but the Dave Canales formula for figuring out these quarterbacks, at least is how he said it in today's introductory press conference, was adjusting to the personnel he has and maximizing that. So I have a full quote in front of me that he says. It's pretty bulky. I won't use the whole thing, but in summary, it says, I want him, as in Bryce Young, to be the best version of himself. That's the same approach that I've taken since I've been coaching the position in the NFL, and that's really the approach I want to take with him. Some of the other things that come to mind, thinking about the quarterbacks that I've worked with, we are going to become what Bryce is great at in the pass game, end quote. And so what exactly is that? That means being creative. That means getting the ball out quickly. That means trusting that Bryce can be this guy who processes things at the line of scrimmage and like kind of make reads and all these things that we've heard scouts rave about when he was coming up as a draft prospect. If Canales says we are going to grow to the capacity that he can handle, his quote, mm-hmm. that you got to let Bryce be Bryce.
Scott, I think Bryce has always been his best. Mike K talks about this all the time, the off-script plays, when he's kind of improvising out there. He did it in college, and he had some flashes at it with the Panthers. But going back to your dogs comment, don't they have to bring in some more dogs for Bryce to really be Bryce?
Oh, gosh, yes. That's where they got to go, you know. First and foremost, they got to fix the offense. And, I mean, to me, they'd need about at least five new starters. I'd start with two wide receivers, a couple of new offensive linemen, and probably a tight end. Those five, to me, if you give him even four, he's going to at least has some more chances. I thought another interesting comment Canales made today about Bryce Young was this very significant time, 2.7 seconds, that the ball has got to be out in that much time or less for Bryce Young to be effective. And that's, you know, very NFL teams chart this. And you know what Bryce threw it at, like, average last year, something like 2.8 seconds. So, I mean, we're talking about a tenth of a second.
Right.
But that tenth of a second, he thinks, is significant. I think they'll, you know, if you get some more playmakers around him,
great to say, Scott, but those guys have to be open in 2.7.
I know, right. They weren't open in 2.7 or 4.7 a lot of times.
Well, and what was the biggest critique of this offense all year? That they couldn't convert down the field. They couldn't throw the ball down the field. How are you going to be Patrick Mahomes, who's standing and dancing in the backfield for 5, 6, 7 seconds and just, at least a couple of years ago, just chucking it up, praying that Tyreek Hill's there? I mean, that's not a benefit that Bryce Young has.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah.
Not yet. They got to find the speed receiver is one of the things that, you know, they're not going to, DJ Chark won't be back, but they'll have to figure out a speed receiver for Bryce. Thielen will be back, and that'll be a good safety valve. But you got to get some explosive guys in here and
That second round pick, you use it on a receiver.
I think so.
Yeah.
That'd be what I'd prefer. Yeah.
Do you guys think Ikem Ekwonu, and I'll start with Alex. Mike has always told me that he thinks Ikem might have to move into guard. Scott talked about they need another offensive lineman. Do you think Ekwonu, Alex, needs to move inside or stay out where he is and give him another year?
Well, if you do that, then you have to find – then that just makes another problem. You need to find another left tackle. Austin Corbett, as we've talked about, of course, he's rehabbing. It's funny, just a brief aside, I asked – that all offensive linemen were there at the introductory press conference today. And I asked, hey, why is that important to this unit to be there for Dave's introductory remarks? And Austin just kind of chuckles and was like, well, we're all hurt right now. And so we're all in the facility rehabbing. And I just thought about it and I was like, oh yeah, this offensive line definitely was injured this year. I mean, think about Chandler Zavala, think about Brady Christensen, think about Austin Corbett who didn't finish the season. So that was interesting. But when you look at the talent on this offensive line, you cannot forget that they were at one point really good and stalwart at this like ground and pound kind of offense.
They were good at it last year, the few times they were called
at the end of the year. And so, and it only came in the zone blocking sort of scheme. Came into place where their weaknesses were kind of shown.
Well,
so
if you get under center a little bit, and you run the ball a little bit, you play action pass a little bit, you might get to 2.7 seconds or somebody can get open and you're not on your back.
And that goes to Dave Canales playing and adjusting toward his personnel.
Yeah. All right, guys. Alex, I'll stay with you. Dan Campbell turned the Lions 3 years from awful to Super Bowl. Is there anything that you saw today that made you think the Panthers could be on any type of similar trajectory?
Even first of all, he wasn't quite in the Super Bowl now. Let's not go quite that far.
One short. I'm sorry. Tim, I'm sorry. One short.
Well, one could argue that the Lions should be in the Super Bowl if some, like, crazy
– field goal.
Yeah, I mean, well, firstly, those decisions, and then you got to involve some crazy divine power coming in and just completely helping the 49ers to
yeah. that.
But to your point, I think the ultimate question is, do the Panthers afford Canales that much time? I mean, Campbell, in his second season, ended up with a decent record, like 9-8 or something, but he started 1-6 in his second year. And so if Canales, it's reported that Canales has a 6-year contract. And so that reflects the fact that, hey, we believe in this guy. We want to keep him around for a long time. But will he get that much time? That is still up for debate and something that Scott Fowler has written a lot about.
Scott, do you think he'll get time to do this? And can he turn it around in a Dan Campbell-like fashion?
Well, you know, that would be the hope. The 6-year contract is somewhat significant in that he'll get paid for that if he doesn't have time. But of course, Matt Rhule had a 7-year contract, lasted 2 1/3, and Frank Reich had a 4-year contract and lasted 11 games. So the contract length is just more protecting the coach if you get fired early. I do think, Langston, they'll give him at least 2 years. I think they're done with the one and done model. That doesn't work. So I think he'll at least have 2. If they show some progress, maybe 3. And then beyond that, you know, they probably need to make the playoffs by that 3rd year for it to continue. Now, can they turn it around? Well, if you look at what happened in Detroit, they had an absolutely incredible draft last year, and I think the year before too. They've turned it around with young guys. I mean, they have just an extraordinary collection of talent, and if you just look at the drafts, and that's where it's got to happen. I mean, even without the number one overall pick, you can make a lot of hay in the draft, and they're gonna have to do that.
Scott, you wrote a book. I mean, you wrote about Coach Canales' book this week. He was very introspective. You know, issues with infidelity with he and his wife. Talk about the book. You read it in full, and you know, were you able to talk to Coach at all about the book?
The book is called This Marriage with a question mark, and it was co-written by Dave and Lizzie Canales, his wife. They've been together now in one way or another for 20 years, so they're long-term relationship. They have 4 children. It is not your typical book written by an NFL head coach, and that's why I wrote a long column about it, because it does describe these marital problems in incredible depth, really, I would say. You just don't hear this sort of vulnerability or honesty coming from an NFL head coach who, if they're making mistakes, and of course everyone does, generally are happy to sweep those under the rug or at least not broadcast them. In this case, Dave Canales speaks of his multiple infidelities, his addiction to pornography, his binge drinking, all that's in there. So when I was read it all in one sitting, and about every other page, I was like, oh my gosh, he put that in there too? So that all that to say is, no, I didn't talk to him beforehand. However, I did talk to some intermediaries, and I understand and I know that Dave Canales was okay with that story being written, because you don't write a book like that if you don't think it's going to be written. And so you understand that's going to follow you around. And he felt it was important enough to get it out there. And really, they did it to help struggling married couples. That's what they did. It's a Christian book, very faith-based. And so, I mean, I thought it was, you know, as I learned more about it, I thought it was courageous. And look, he got his dream job anyway, even after admitting all these things. And, you know, he can be his authentic self now. He's not trying to cover anything up, that's for sure.
And Charlotte's a big Christian town with a lot of church-going people. I just, you know, I think he'll probably find a large fan base amongst that crowd for sure. Alex and Scott, before we get out of here, I want to ask one last question. Give me your 3 biggest takeaways from today. And Alex, you can go first. 3 biggest takeaways from the press conference today.
Well, number one, he is a fervent believer in Bryce Young. I know it's kind of an obvious one, but that was something that this head coach needed to be, because the Panthers have tethered their fortunes to Bryce Young after getting so much away for that number one overall pick last year. So that was clear. That was palpable. Two, I sound like I'm just repeating Scott from the beginning, but he was charismatic. He was fun. It was very different when Dan Morgan took the microphone at first. He was very like grateful, but also still kind of in that I'm a linebacker, coach speak-ish mode sort of thing. Whereas when Dave took the microphone, everyone just kind of woke up. So yeah. It's charisma for number two. And number three, he believes also in, I thought it was quite interesting that he talked so highly of EJ Everett, the defensive coordinator. Yeah. He has kind of come in and he got rid of James Campen, didn't retain Thomas Brown, the offensive coordinator, brought in all his new guys, but he is really excited about what EJ can bring to this defense. And that was a big question, particularly because EJ comes in, installs this new 3-4 scheme. It works. And and Canales saw it twice close up, and he wants to keep him around. So those are my three, Langston. Bryce Young, charisma, EJ.
Scott?
I thought, as I mentioned earlier, that Dan Morgan just basically saying, we got to get some more dogs, we got to get some more talent in here. That, to me, was significant, that they know where they are right now is just not acceptable. I did think it was interesting who didn't speak, and that Dave Tepper, you know, I had my little thing. I've had a couple of little things with Dave Tepper over the years. Well, there was no ignoring me at a press conference today. I asked the fourth question in the press conference, but I didn't ask it to David Tepper because no one was asking questions to Dave Tepper. He purposely kind of stayed away from the microphone, and, you know, I get that. And then other than that, I guess I would just say that every time I go through one of these, that I've seen all seven of these head coaches, permanent head coaches, get introduced, this day always feels a little bit similar. It feels like Christmas. It feels hopeful. People are opening presents, getting to know people. Everything seems so positive. And that's kind of refreshing around Bank of America Stadium right now. There have been very few days like that. You could feel people, other employees and stuff, just they wanted to work so badly. And so, I don't know, it was kind of like innocent, I guess I would say. I mean, it feels like, here we go again, starting it over. Oh, good, we get to throw that old book away, and here comes a new chapter and all that stuff that you say. But yeah, it was a nice day.
Well, meanwhile, out in Vegas, next week we have a Super Bowl game. It's going to involve a few former Panthers. Scott, what do you think about the Chiefs and the 49ers in that game? What do you like?
I like the Chiefs. I've given up on ever betting against Patrick Mahomes. It was a lot like Brady. I mean, you just never pick against him in a big game. I like Mahomes as a player a lot better than Brady. He's such a likable guy. But as much as Steve Wilkes and Christian McCaffrey, I'd like to see it for both of them. I don't think 49ers get that one done. I think Mahomes eventually figures it out.
No rings for Wilkes, no rings for Donald, no rings for 20 McCaffrey. No? Okay.
That's my pick, but, you know, that's why I don't gamble either. But, yeah, I'd say the Chiefs by about seven.
Alex?
Oh, I wish you would have given me this one first. You know what? Screw it. I'm going with the 49ers.
Go to 49ers. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me Chris a score. Give me a score.
Okay. It's gonna be high scoring. Let's go 35-31.
35. That was a Pittsburgh Cowboys Super Bowl when I was a kid.
35. Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And give me Christian McCaffrey going for 200. All-purpose scrimmage yards.
CMC with MVP?
I do not think he won MVP. I think Lamar Jackson did too much during the regular season.
No, I mean the Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, certainly. If the 49ers win, it's a Christian McCaffrey MVP. Right. Yeah.
Over, under, Taylor Swift. 60 seconds, under 60 seconds.
It better be over. If the NFL knows me, it's good for him, it better be over.
With that pregame show and everything else, I'm hoping she comes up, you know, and does a cameo at halftime. I'm sure that won't happen. It's fun. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, go out. What do you think, Langston? Who's going to win? Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Chiefs. I think it's going to be 31-27, something like that. I think it will be a high-scoring game. I think Mahomes will probably rally them. He's just so good. You know, they were struggling all year long. That people, you know, there was some talk they might not even make the playoffs at one point. And it just seemed like they had a different gear. You know, they couldn't find Kelce for weeks and weeks and weeks. And Kelce last week just has one of the best games you've ever seen. 11 targets, 11 catches. It's amazing. So I'm going with the Chiefs. Andy Reid's got a dynasty. I think it's good with football to have a dynasty. You know, you hate them, you love them, but they're just fun to watch. And, you know, I think, you know, they're going to be celebrating another Super Bowl. And you're going to see Taylor Swift definitely after the game for sure. Travis on the field. But look, guys, I appreciate you jumping on with us. All you guys out there, if you watch this on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscription and make sure you hit the bell so every time we put out a podcast, you'll get notified. If you're checking us out on your podcast, we will be back, not every week, but make sure you follow us so you can check us out when we do put out new episodes. Also, follow us at charlotteobserver.com. We're on all the social media accounts, and we'll catch you next time on Processing Blue.